ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 4, Text 1, Chapter entitled, Gajendra Returns to the Spiritual World. We have this chapter summary. I'll read that and then we'll chant verse 1. This fourth chapter describes the previous birth of Gajendra and the crocodile. It tells how the crocodile became a Gandharva and Gajendra became an associate of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There was a king on the Gandharva planet whose name was Huhu. Once this king Huhu was enjoying with woman in the water, and while enjoying he pulled the leg of Devala Rishi, who was also taking a bath in the water. Upon this, the sage became very angry and immediately cursed him to become a crocodile. King Huhu was very sorry when cursed in that way, and he begged pardon from the sage, who in compassion gave him the benediction that he would be freed when Gajendra was delivered by the Personality of Godhead. Thus the crocodile was delivered when killed by Narayana. When Gajendra, by the mercy of the Lord, became one of the Lord's associates in Vaikuntha, he got four hands. This achievement is called Sarupya Mukti, or the liberation, or receiving a spiritual body exactly like that of Narayana. Gajendra in his previous birth had been a great devotee of Lord Vishnu. His name was Indradumna. And he was the king of the Tamila country. Following the Vedic principles, this king retired from family life and constructed a small cottage in the Malayachala hills, where he always worshipped the Supreme Personality of Godhead in silence. Agastya Rishi, along with many disciples, once approached King Indradumna's ashram. But because the king was meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he could not receive Agastya Rishi properly. Thus the Rishi became very angry and cursed the king to become a dull elephant. In accordance with this curse, the king was born as an elephant, and he forgot all about his previous activities in devotional service. Nonetheless, in his birth as an elephant, when he was dangerously attacked by the crocodile, he remembered his past life in devotional service and remembered a prayer he had learned in that life. Because of this prayer, he again received the mercy of the Lord. Thus he was immediately delivered and he became one of the Lord's four-handed associates. Sukadeva Goswami ends this chapter by describing the good fortune of the elephant. Sukadeva Goswami says that by hearing the narration of Gajendra's deliverance, one can also get the opportunity to be delivered. Sukadeva Goswami vividly describes this, and thus the chapter ends. So we'll chant text 1. Sri Suka Uvacha Tada Deva Rishi Gandharva Brahmesana Purogama Mumuchu Kusumasaram Samsanta Karma Taddare Sri Suka Uvacha Tada Devarshi Gandharva Brahmesana Purogama Mumuchu Kusuma Saram Samsanta Karma Taddare Matajis, please. Sri Sukavacha, Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, Tada, at that time, when Gajendra was delivered, Devarshi Gandharva, the demigods, sages and Gandharvas, Brahma Isana Purogama, headed by Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, Mumuchu showered Kusumasaram, a covering of flowers, Samsanta, while praising Karma, transcendental activity, Tat, that, Gajendra Mokshana, Hare, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation, Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, when the Lord delivered Gajendra, king of the elephants, all the demigods, sages and Gandharvas, headed by Brahma and Shiva, praised this activity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and showered flowers upon both the Lord and Gajendra. Purport. It is evident from this chapter that great sages like Devala Rishi, Narada Muni and Agastya Muni will sometimes curse someone. This curse of such a personality, however, is in fact a benediction. Both the crocodile, who had been a Gandharva in his previous life, and Gajendra, who had been a king named Indradumna, were cursed. But both of them benefited. Indradumna, in his birth as an elephant, attained salvation and became a personal associate of the Lord in Vaikuntha. And the crocodile regained his status as a Gandharva. We find evidence in many places that the curse of a great saint or a devotee is not a curse but a benediction. Om Agyana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitamena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే దేవామృత స్వామినీతి నామని. నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినీతి నామని. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పశ్చాత్య దేస్తారిణి. జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవంద. హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ. So here, Srila Prabhupada is giving us a divine vision into this pastime. And Prabhupada ends this purport that saying that the curse of a great saint or a devotee is not a curse but a benediction. So the nature of the material existence is that we are conditioned to think that everything should go in our own way. And as conditioned souls especially, we are completely convinced that we understand everything that's going on in our lives and in spiritual life. But the actual fact is, we are not the controller, enjoyer and proprietor. Krishna is this controller, proprietor and enjoyer. And we also, it's actually very humbling to know and to think that we actually don't know what's the best thing for us. Like Prahlad Maharaj says, Nathe vidu swartha gatim Vishnu durasaya ye bahirartha maninas. That a conditioned soul does not know like what's our real self-interest, even though we think we do. But we don't know, because therefore we're investing in something external and temporary. Durasaya. Bahirartha maninas means external energy of Krishna. But the devotees and Krishna, they're always thinking how to get us out of this material existence, how fortunate we are. It's like in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when this devotee, Gopakumar, when he goes back home, back to Godhead, Krishna actually explains to him that I was waiting so patiently for you for so many lifetimes. Krishna is saying to Gopakumar, like, I was waiting. Is he going to turn to me in this lifetime? Is he going to turn to me in this lifetime? Is he going to turn to me in this lifetime? So many lifetimes Krishna patiently waited. Finally, Krishna appeared as his spiritual master and, you know, speed up the process of Gopakumar coming back home, back to Godhead. So the devotees and Krishna are always thinking how to bring us back to Godhead. And it's also explained in the Bhagavatam, that's actually the real duty of a leader, is to help, leader to help his dependents to become free from false ego and to be able to come home, back to Godhead. And leader, everybody is a leader. It's like a group of college students came and, you know, one girl was asking like, oh, what's, you know, how does, you know, how do you guys see a woman? I said, woman is a guru, you know. She was happy to hear this. So woman is a guru, because she's going to have children and she has so much influence over the, you know, children she has. And if she is a devotee and if she is God consciousness, is she God conscious and her husband is God conscious, then she's going to influence that kid. So Mataji is a guru, a teacher is a guru, a politician is a guru, a demigod is a guru, a spiritual master obviously is a guru, or should be all of these leaders should be always thinking how to take their dependence back to Godhead. And the first thing to go back to Godhead is the attitude of the devotee, of the disciple. Without proper attitude, and without proper humility, we can know so much, but it's useless. Therefore, the duty of a spiritual master is to humble the disciple. It's like in this pastime of Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, I was listening how Prabhupada was actually very proud of Solness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. How Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was going in this under this iron curtain, distributing Prabhupada's books and spreading Krishna consciousness where it's not allowed, and taking risks and like this, you know. And Prabhupada was very happy when he would receive a letter from Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, used to be called as Ganashyam, as a brahmachari. So he was very fond of these letters from Ganashyam, and Prabhupada would read them again and again. And any distinguished guests would come, life members and, you know, politicians and like this, Prabhupada would read to them the letters from Bhakti Tirtha Swami. He was very fond of these letters. And in 1977, Prabhupada was not even able to speak. He was like really ill. But Prabhupada wanted to go on a world tour just to inspire his devotees. And Prabhupada wanted to do this. He had so much love for his disciples. And they would pretty much, they would carry him up and make him lie down in the car. Again, they would carry him, you know, in a wheelchair and make him lie down in the plane, and like that's very sick. So Prabhupada went to London. Prabhupada went to Bhaktivedanta Manor, and Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj actually heard Prabhupada is in Bhaktivedanta Manor, so he actually drove non-stop from Eastern Europe to come see Prabhupada and all the devotees. And Prabhupada was actually very ill. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj was thinking, you know, that Prabhupada is very fond of hearing, you know, reports from Bhakti Tirtha Swami, Ganashyam, Brahmachari. So he is here and Prabhupada is here. Maybe, you know, he can directly read the latest report to Prabhupada. So when Prabhupada saw him and, you know, met him and heard his report, Prabhupada was actually like shedding tears. And Prabhupada embraced him and, you know, glorified Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, said, "Your life is actually perfect." And Prabhupada said, "This is parampara system. How my Guru Maharaj is pushing me to spread Krishna consciousness, and I'm pushing you to spread Krishna consciousness. And you're engaging others in Krishna consciousness. This is parampara system," like this. You know. Prabhupada was very pleased. And when the disciples saw Prabhupada very ill but very happy, they thought, you know, there's nothing higher than to please Prabhupada. So they actually asked, Tamal Krishna Maharaj asked Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj to come again for the second day to read the report. But this time, same Ganashyam, same devotee, came in to read his second report. But this time, Prabhupada was looking completely disinterested in what he has to say. And Prabhupada was actually looking away and, you know, calling devotees and having conversations, and, you know, he was making facial expressions that Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj felt like, "I'm actually disturbing Prabhupada." And Prabhupada was actually disturbed, and he was not interested to hear this second report. He was just like, he was expressing that. And in the middle of, in the middle of this reading, Prabhupada actually stopped him. Prabhupada stopped him and said, Krishna is the doer. Do not take any credit for yourself. Like this, with this real grave expression, grave voice, Prabhupada just spoke loudly like this, even though he was like sick and hardly was speaking. And it actually like paralyzed Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, and Tamal Krishna Maharaj actually told him, maybe it's time for you to like go, you know. So Prabhupada was saying like this to Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was actually saying to his god brothers how he felt so much more mercy from Prabhupada when he got chastised the second day. Because the first day he came in and Prabhupada was shedding tears and embracing him and speaking sweet words. But the second day when he got chastised and when he got stopped while he was reading his letter, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj actually felt more of Prabhupada's love, even though he spoke harshly like this. Because he can see that, you know, Prabhupada wanted to protect him. Prabhupada actually spoke to Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj ever. And these words actually kept Maharaj going. Even though he had so much success, he kept him humble and kept him encouraged in his spiritual life. So, as conditioned souls, we can understand. We think mercy means like, you know, everything should go nicely and everybody should speak sweet to us. But we really don't understand what's Krishna's plan for us. What's Krishna's mercy on us? We have no idea. And even as devotees, we think, okay, you know, I'm devotee and I'm willing to go through like trials and tribulations and, you know, we try to show to Krishna. But Krishna sees the list, but then Krishna understands this list is nice, but it's not going to help us. So Krishna has his own list for us, which will really purify us. It's like they say, you know, if you want to make Krishna laugh, then tell him your plans, you know. Because, you know, we think like we have it all figured out, but Krishna has his own plan for us, how to really speed up our progress and how to actually take us back to Godhead. We see in this pastime how Indradumna Maharaj, Gajendra in his previous life, has a serious setback. What's the setback? Is that he was a king, and even though he was so influential and so powerful, he actually renounced everything, and, you know, in his last days, his last few moments of his life that is left, he is actually meditating on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then Agastya Rishi comes, and, you know, he's innocently doing meditation, what he was supposed to be doing. And then, you know, he gets cursed to become an elephant. Can you imagine that? He's just doing what you're supposed to do in your retired life. And then, you know, that's a serious setback, you know. Like most of us, like, we can't control our senses. Then, you know, we admit like, okay, you know, I'm fallen, this, that. But somebody is doing all the things you're supposed to do. And then somebody comes and curses him to become a dull elephant, even though he was doing the right thing. And then we're reading about this Gandharva, this crocodile was a Gandharva. Gandharva, those of you who don't know, you know, they're like the, you know, most beautiful musicians in the higher planetary system. They look good and they sing nice and they're like supermodel kind of personalities. And then just for playing in the waters, he gets, you know, cursed to become a, you know, crocodile. Can you imagine, 1 minute you're like a Gandharva, most attractive man, and the next minute, like, you know, so sad, you become a crocodile. Most of us know what they look like, you know. Half of their body is their mouth, you know. The mouth is so long. So they're always like swimming around looking for food, you know. We have a small tongue and they're like giving us hard time. The crocodile's tongue, so like, you know, always like thinking about food and, you know. And they even fight amongst themselves, and very ugly creatures. So, and who becomes a Gandharva? I mean, excuse me, Gandharva becomes a crocodile. So, you know, considering all this, you know, our situation is not so bad, you know. But the thing is, Bhagavatam is teaching us even a reversal of a difficult kind has a potential to become a blessing. What's the blessing of this crocodile? It's explained that Ramanujacharya actually explains in his commentary that even though he was a crocodile and he was, you know, suffering, knowingly or unknowingly, he touched the feet of a great devotee like Indradumna in the form of an elephant. You know, Ramanujacharya says that was his credit. So much so that he got first delivered when Vishnu came with his Sudarshan disc. You know, first, you know, he cut the head of the mouth of the crocodile and he got liberated. And it's explained that, you know, he went back to his Gandharva planet, but still, it was not the same. His consciousness was not the same. He went back as a pure devotee. So what a blessing. He could have been a Gandharva for millions and millions and millions of years, just singing and into himself and, you know, his female companions and like this. But, you know, he got delivered in, you know, few years as a crocodile. Same thing it's explained for Gajendra. That, you know, he was an elephant, but Krishna put him through this difficult situation. So he was also reminded of his, you know, devotional service. And he got also liberation. Sarupya Mukti, it says he got four-handed form just like Vishnu. So this is Krishna's mercy. And even as devotees, sometimes we don't see things as Krishna's mercy. That's why Prabhupada was like very strong in his words, just to wake us up, you know. Otherwise we are dull like this crocodile, we're dull like this elephant, we just, you know, set in our ways and we're so into ourselves. But Prabhupada with his strong words, you know, wakes us up to see things as they are. Otherwise, even as devotees, we don't see what's mercy, what's not mercy. There's actually a joke. I read how in Europe, there was they opened up a bar and a nightclub next to a church. And it happened like the, you know, like the thunderbolt hit the, you know, bar and damaged it. So these owners of the bar, they took the church to the court. And they're saying to the judge, like, you know, actually because of these guys' prayers and these guys' God, our bar got destroyed and our, you know, business got destroyed and like this. And the priests of the church, they were saying, oh, it's got nothing to do with us. And the judge was laughing. The judge said, you know, I have an interesting situation here. These bar owners, you know, they're actually more God conscious than the priests, because they're believing in God being the cause of everything. And these church priests, they swear to God that they have nothing to do with this. So I have an interesting situation here. So, you know, many times we're not able to see that everything is happening as Krishna's mercy. But You know, we think we are controllers, but we are not. Even Brahma, if anybody is allowed to think they are controllers, Brahma definitely can, you know. Because he's Adi Kavi and he has, you know, four heads and, you know, he's the original, you know, engineer within this material world and he doesn't have a mother. He came from like Krishna's lotus navel and so on and so forth. He is praying. In the 10th canto, he says that, you know, tatyenu kampam susumikshaman bunjana evatma kritam vipakam hridvago vapubir vidadam namaste jivetayo mukti padesa dayaba. Brahma says, tolerating all kinds of difficulties, if we can think that I actually deserve worse, but Krishna has only given me a token of what I'm supposed to receive, in that consciousness, if we can, you know, offer obeisances with our mind, body and words and serve Krishna like that, Brahma says, then liberation becomes our rightful claim. Mukti padesa daya bhak, he says. Rightful claim. Brahma is praying this. I mean, even in the heavenly planets, you know, I'm sure they're going through all kinds of situations for him to have this deep realization. So Brahma is giving us this technique, you know, how to live in this world and how to see everything as Krishna's mercy. There's actually a saying that if Krishna likes you, he gives you all kinds of things, but he loves you, he takes away everything. That's why he's called Hari. And we see not only ordinary beings are cursed, even great devotees are cursed. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and, you know, personalities like that, you know, they also got cursed. It's like when Haridas Thakur was put in prison. I mean to say, curse is not always a bad thing, you know. That's why this teaching is, Bhagavatam is teaching us how to see it. So it says that, you know, Haridas Thakur was chanting Hare Krishna and this Chan Kazi was trying to stop him. And in many instances he was trying to stop him, this Muslim in charge. But one instance they actually put Haridas Thakur in a prison. And there were many people there in the prison, but in the association of Haridas Thakur they all started chanting Hare Krishna. And, you know, like this, and Haridas Thakur actually blessed them when he got released. He said, may you all remain as you are, like this. And all of their faces became like shriveled up, you know, they're like thinking like, you know, what kind of blessing is this, you know, we are in prison, you know, there's no proper food, no space, like this. But what Haridas Thakur meant was, you know, you guys have the right attitude, you're humble, you're chanting the names of God and you have service attitude and like this, you know, you're not, there's not much distraction in the prison. So may you continue to remain as you are like this. So even though they thought it was a curse, but Haridas Thakur meant a great blessing. There was this instance where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would perform. Like Dutakarma Prabhu was explaining in his class, this pastime, very intimate kirtan, along with his devotees, with the Panchatattva in the Srivas Thakur's house, and no outsider would be allowed to come in. And, you know, many of them were disturbed and agitated because of this. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually went one time to take bath in the Ganges. There was actually one Brahmana who was very famous for speaking harsh words and cursing others. He said to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know, I tried to come into your kirtan, but, you know, you guys didn't allow me. So I curse you, you know, that you will not have any material happiness in your life like this. And he snapped his Brahman thread. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually started dancing in ecstasy, you know. So what a great blessing, what a great blessing. Prabhupada writes in one of the purports, he says Mahaprabhu took this as an impetus to actually take sannyas like this. He took this Brahman's curse as a blessing. And Krishnadas Kaviraj actually writes that anyone who hears about this curse and Mahaprabhu's happiness will actually become free from all Brahmanical curses. And there was this Brahmana who was a demigod worshipper, and he couldn't stand the fact that, you know, Srivas Thakur and others are being such great devotees and they're so happy chanting the holy names. He actually put all the worshipable paraphernalia of worship for Kali outside the house of Srivas Thakur. When Srivas Thakur opened his door, he saw there was like, you know, meat and kumkum and this and that, all kinds of articles for these rituals. But Srivas Thakur didn't mind, you know, he didn't take it seriously. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took this as a serious offense. And, you know, that Gopal Chapul actually got leprosy. Within 3 days, it's explained, he was suffering so much. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually going to the bank of Ganges, and Gopal Chapul with the leprosy actually approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and begged him, you know, you're like my nephew and you're Patita Pavan Avatar, you come to deliver so many fallen souls, but I'm suffering so much, you know, is there any way you can free me from, you know, this suffering? And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you think you're suffering now, this is nothing. You're going to suffer for like millions of births. This is just starting. You think this is suffering. And he got like so scared, and Gopal Chapul begged him for forgiveness. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, don't ask me for forgiveness. You offended Haridas Thakur. So you go to him and beg for forgiveness. So Gopal Chapul actually went to Srivas Thakur and begged for forgiveness, and then he got cured of his leprosy. And this so-called curse and suffering brought him to his consciousness. Even in the life of Narada Muni, Prabhupada is writing in the purport that, you know, even great saints like Narada or Agastya, they curse sometime. Even Narada was cursed. Narada was in his previous lives, he was actually a Gandharva, and Daksha was performing a sacrifice, and he invited Narada Muni to come and sing, but Narada kept looking at like these beautiful girls. Narada, as this Gandharva, he was like lusty and kept looking at these girls. So Daksha got like irritated and said, you know, we're having a beautiful ceremony trying to worship the Lord, and you keep looking at these girls, you know. You don't have the proper consciousness. I curse you to go to the earthly planet and behave like one of these ordinary human beings like that. But we know the story how he met the Bhaktivedantas, met the devotees, and, you know, he served them and like that. And another time, after Narada Muni became, you know, Narada Muni traveling and preaching, Narada Muni preached to the sons of Daksha. Daksha Prajapati had like tens and thousands of sons, and, you know, Prajapati Daksha was hoping they could be like progenitors and like this. But Narada Muni preached to them and said, what's the use of this, you know, become devotees. And Daksha got so irritated, and he had another set of sons, you know, 10,000 sons. And Narada Muni approached them and basically said, you know, what are you guys doing? You're supposed to follow in your older brother's footstep. They became devotees. And the second batch also became devotees. And Daksha got so irritated and said, you know, you're calling yourself saintly person and you're interfering with my, you know, service, and I curse you, you can't stay anywhere for like more than short time like this. And Prabhupada actually writes in his purport that for, you know, the Gaudiya, Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya looks like, you know, I have the similar curse as Narada Muni. The parents of my Western disciples have cursed me in a similar way that Narada got cursed, that I'm not, even though I have so many beautiful centers all over the world, I'm not able to stay for more than few days. And Prabhupada's writing, I wish I could transfer this curse, my curse, to my Western disciples, so I can stay in one place for a period of time and peacefully translate these books like this. So, looks like, you know, this cursing and, you know, seeing the curse as blessing is all over Srimad Bhagavatam, but we have to see it in the proper light and see how Krishna is always helping us, even by putting us in difficulties, ultimately for us to grow in spiritual life and go back to Godhead. Any questions or comments? Amala Bhakta Prabhu, can you give him the mic, please?
Thank you for another very wonderful class with so many stories and anecdotes to bring out your point of how the curse is really a blessing. But I have a question, and that is, you mentioned in the course of your talk at the early part that when Agastya Muni came to the kutir of Indradyumna, that Indradyumna was doing the right thing, and he was in meditation. And it seemed, please correct me if I'm wrong, seemed like you were deducing that for doing the right thing, he got cursed. And I was wondering, why would a great sage curse someone if he's doing the right thing? It didn't make any sense. So perhaps there's more to it, and you're welcome to explain what it would be for him to curse King Indradyumna, who is meditating.
Yes, like, you know, that's what I was saying, how, you know, we're not able to see, but Krishna has a higher purpose, just like Parikshit when he got cursed, so that the Bhagavatam could be spoken. Parikshit was in a similar situation, like, you know, he got cursed for doing something like small time, something. Similarly, Indradyumna got cursed, but the lesson is that he was neglectful. He didn't have the proper etiquette, even though he was a king. You know, kings have seen so many sages and saintly people, and they should be expert at etiquette and receiving guests. At least give them, you know, sweet words of water or a mat or something like that. So, in a sense, like, there was a very minor offense, like a subtle offense, but the Bhagavatam is showing us how to deal with other devotees and how serious it is to disrespect other devotees and neglectful of other devotees like that, and the consequences are very grave like that. So that's all I can think of, unless you have something to add.
No, what you've said is exactly what I was looking for. So thank you very much. It's exactly correct.
So what's
and also Devala Rishi, why did he get cursed? What was the reason behind that?
For Uhu?
Yeah, excuse me. King Uhu got cursed for because he did something.
Yeah, you were saying nicely in your classes how, like, Huhu was a Gandharva, but he got carried away in the association of opposite sex, that he actually went deep inside the water and he started pulling the leg of a saintly person. So he said, "You're behaving like a crocodile, you know, might as well become one, you know." So that's why he got that.
Yeah, thank you very much.
So what Prabhu had is...
It would also appear that when Agastya Muni cursed Indradyumna there in his meditation, means that, I think Prabhupada has described several times that these munis and mystics, they're not necessarily pure devotees of the Lord. Because if he would have been a pure devotee of the Lord, he would have understood what Indradyumna was doing, that he was meditating on the Lord. So sometimes these individuals, they're Brahman, they're Brahminical, very powerful, but they're not necessarily like pure devotees of the Lord.
Yes, thank you for that. Acharya Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for your wonderful class. You will mention how Ramanujacharya explains that the good fortune of the crocodile, that he touched the feet of Gajendra. So that's why he got elevated to a better position. So I was thinking, even that Gajendra was a very advanced devotee of the Lord, but he was playing the role of an enjoyer. So even that, how Ramanujacharya was able to see that even in that condition that he was put, he was considered a great devotee of the Lord. You know? That's
the vision of a devotee, because ordinary souls, even when you see somebody great, we think small about them, you know. But great devotees, they have the vision and they're grateful for, you know, Krishna is grateful for all the service Indradyumna did, so he's reciprocating. Same thing, like, you know, for somebody to be in the pages of Bhagavatam and being glorified like that, so Ramanujacharya can see that, you know, it's not an ordinary elephant. He was a great devotee, and he's highlighting the point that somehow or other you come in contact with the devotee, then, you know, you're so blessed like this, you know. I was listening to Prabhupada's memory, how it said, you know, Prabhupada was taking a morning walk in the Bowery with his disciples. It was very dark. And there was a drunk, you know, a guy completely drunk. He was just crossing the road and coming towards Prabhupada and his disciples. And Prabhupada took his cane and just whacked him on the head like really hard and knocked him cold. Just left him there and kept on going with this entourage of devotees like that, you know. So I was thinking, you know, so many ways to get mercy from pure devotee, but, you know, this guy really got it, you know. Who knows, you know, if he came back to consciousness or he could be one of us right now, you know. So, mercy is inconceivable. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Excuse me, I'll see you tonight then, okay? Is that confirmed?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. All right.